All right. Welcome, everybody, to the DeFalco Files. I am Sin City Steve, filling in for Matt Michaels once again, and I'm being joined by the owner and creator of FSW, none other than Mr. Joe DeFalco. Joe, how are you doing, sir?
Doing all right. Doing a Friday night broadcast.
Hey, man. Gotta love it, right? Gotta love it. And, obviously, we're hot on the heels, even still, of the 16th anniversary show. And let's kind of recap a bit and revisit what all went down, because a lot of things happened at that 16th anniversary, and it was a sweet 16th as well. Obviously, a lot of news coming out of that, but let's go ahead and talk about our new FSW heavyweight champion, Gregory Sharp, cashing in his cash in the case after Ice Williams runs 30 minutes with Danny Limelight, getting the third decision right before the gun, and two FSW heavyweight championship title changes in the same night. Yeah, that was an amazing show. Great match, and great post-match as well.
Yeah, I think Ice Williams is the only guy that forgot that Gregory Sharp had till the end of the show. Like, man, pay attention a little bit. Like, right, you would think maybe you're in the back of your head that maybe you could see it coming, but obviously not. And, you know, the 30-minute Iron Man match, you know, did what we would hoped it was going to do. There was a lot of drama. The crowd was really into everything throughout the night, and we topped it off. And it was amazing to me, the crowd reaction. Like, you knew everybody was going to be happy that Ice Williams won, but it was like, man, the minute Sharp cashed in, it was like they forgot all about Ice and didn't care about him anymore. Like, I'm not sure which pop was louder.
Dude, it was loud when Sharp cashed in. Obviously, Ice got the victory right before the gun, like I said. Picking up that third decision right at the very end of the time. And the crowd came to their feet because they knew that they were going to see a title change right there. And then obviously for those of us that were still kind of keeping track, which like you said, Ice evidently forgot about it because he's celebrating with the championship. Who shows up right over his shoulder? Gregory Sharp hits him with the knee and is crowned your new FSW heavyweight champion. Great stuff.
Yeah, you know, a guy who's been with us for about 12 years, and, you know, it took him about 10 or 11 to get his first championship in this business, let alone in FSW. So, you know, Gregory Sharp started with us at like 19 years old, never realized he was that young. And, you know, from his start date, you know, he's probably been the guy who took the longest to become a heavyweight champion. You know, over 13 years, and, you know, might have been 14. So it's been a long time, but I'll tell you what, you know, it's amazing, not only Sharp, but guys like Remy and Cody that, you know, 15, 10, 12 years later, a lot of these guys, man, Gregory Sharp, I can't believe anybody could tell me that he was better any other time in his professional wrestling career than over the last year or two. So, you know, he's without a doubt the guy that many people believe is the best pure wrestler in the company.
Yeah. And, you know, he's definitely earned that world traveler moniker. He's been everywhere, man. He's been in virtually every promotion, every country that you can think of. He's putting in the work, and it's great to see him finally, as you said, achieving that heavyweight championship within FSW, despite it taking as long as it did. So That's pretty awesome. Now, one thing that I do want to make mention of is after the match, we did see something very interesting in the ring. We saw Danny Limelight's boots in the ring at FSW. So a lot of fans had some questions after the show as far as, you know, what lies in the future for Danny Limelight. But
well, I hope he got his boots because I saw that he's scheduled for an open challenge in 11 days in California. So, you know, normally from what I understand, because I never wrestled, that it isn't the last match in your in a certain promotion. It's usually right. It's your last match. So if you wrestle 24 more shows, are you going to? Are you going to take 24 pairs of boots and put them in every single, you know, Kenny King hit me up. He's like, hey, what's up with Limelight? Yeah. You know, my kid hit me up. What was up with Limelight? And it was like, well, yeah, you know, he's thinking about things and, you know, he's not happy with the way certain things are going. He's like, oh, okay, because, you know, I saw the boots in the ring and I didn't see it. So I didn't know what he was talking about. So I was just thinking, you know, maybe he made one of his posts and, you know, is talking about maybe winding it down or something because he's been in that mode, you know, for a bit. And it's really surprising that he did put the boots because the last time that happened, Alcatraz did that in a match against Hammerstone. And that was the last match Alcatraz ever had in professional wrestling. And Alcatraz is very happy that that was the match that he chose to do it in because he felt he was able to help pass the torch and thought a guy like Hammerstone would carry it well.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, kind of pivoting, we just obviously spoke about Gregory Sharp, one successful cash in the case. We also had another cash in the case holder now in Tyler Bateman, who won that unpredictable and pretty crazy chaotic cash in the case ladder match. We did get our face off, if you will, between the members of the faction, but it ended up being all for naught in the end as they got thrown off their ladders and actually destroyed the ring a bit and leaving everything wide open for Bateman to climb up, grab the case. And I'll tell you, man, outside of maybe Duke Lawrence, which we'll talk about him in a minute, but I don't know if I would necessarily be sleeping with both eyes closed at night if Tyler Bateman is following around with that cash in the case.
No, no doubt about it. I'll tell you why. You want a hard-hitting match. Bateman and Gregory Sharp is definitely would be one of those matches. You know, Bateman was involved with Cody and Andy Delgado, we haven't seen in a while either. Cody's been banged up. So there doesn't seem to be any alliance at this point for him to maybe go after the tag belts. And, you know, I don't know if it would be wise to go after Duke. So to me, Gregory Sharp or Dante King is especially if it's going to happen sooner than later, you know. You know, maybe he wants to wait. You know, the thing about Bateman, you know, you could see, you know, he plotted. He didn't want to get too involved with the yep. chaos that was going on in the match. And he was letting those guys kind of fight it out. And he was kind of being the crafty veteran, you know, picking and choosing his time to step into the ring. And I think it was an added incentive for him to be the one to take out Jay Vidal. So,
yes. You
know, you can obviously see in that match that there was a definite focus on both of those guys, where Jay Vidal and Bateman were kind of focused on each other while they were probably trying to see about winning the match. So it's going to be interesting to see moving forward because – you know, Jay Vidal still wants that piece of Bateman, but obviously Bateman has a bigger prize in store.
Absolutely. And, you know, it speaks volumes, the way that Bateman carried himself throughout that match. You hit the nail right on the head. He was very methodical, very plotting with what he did and made everything count that he did in that ring. And yeah, it should be very interesting. But, you know, I mentioned that we would talk about Duke Lawrence. Let's go ahead and throw this up there. And due to referee stoppage, Duke Lawrence gets the victory over Bodie in about 10 minutes due to, well, let's be real. He chokeslammed the hell out of Bodie numerous times. So obviously we'll talk about that post-match, but what do you think about that match itself?
It truly was a David versus Goliath, and watching Bodie in that match, that might be the most impressive I've ever seen Bodie in his young career. You know, we know he's good, and we've seen him go toe-to-toe and have really good matches with a lot of good people. And it's different when you're in there with a 400-pound monster. And somehow, some way, you know, the crowd believed in Bodie, you know?
Oh, yeah.
They believed more in Bodie than Joe Hendry recently, you know? And a lot of people thought Bodie might have been able to pull off the shocker, but, you know, it was just too much for him. And, you know, Duke added a little insult to injury when he kind of pulled him up before the three count. And, you know, as the MK Army grows, there seems to be a little bit of dissension because somebody we hadn't really seen much. He was in the Rumble match, but he really hasn't done a lot in the last few months. Hiro Lu made a return. And, you know, again, you know, read the room. I'm pretty sure when I saw Hiro Lu coming down the ramp, I wasn't thinking he was going to lay out Bodie myself, but it sure seemed like MK and Duke thought that was going to happen.
Yeah. It was very interesting. And obviously, you know, he's had enough of the Army, I think. So, I think that we know what's next for Duke Lawrence. And, you know, you mentioned a hard-hitting match between Bateman and Gregory Sharp. I think Hiro Lu and Duke Lawrence, yeah, sign me up for that one. Absolutely.
You know, and those guys have been on the same side and opposite sides. You know, when TBD were the tag champs and it was Hiro and Shogun, Duke and Koa, you know, had a couple of opportunities. And after Shogun got hurt, in the car accident that he had, MK and Duke kind of maybe took some unnecessary shots because for a while there, Shogun, you know, a lot of people weren't sure, you know, what was going to happen with him. And, you know, maybe that kind of rubbed Hiro the wrong way because, you know, they were as tight as anybody can be. And then they had the falling out. But, you know, a lot of times people say brothers are going to fight. And, you know, they seem to have had a much stronger bond than two normal tag team partners. So, you know, I can't read what's in Hero's mind, but I do know moving forward on June 28th at our next event, Scars and Stripes, Hiro Lu will be returning to the ring. So... Yeah. We're going to be opening the show. Gregory Sharp, he's going to have the state of the address. So, you know, we're seeing some new blood. Obviously, not sure what's going on, but Danny Limelight will not be at that show. And he really hasn't given me a definitive answer. Well, he kind of has. He's like, you know, he was taking time off. So that's about all we know in the case of Danny Limelight. But, you know, next man up, Hiro Lu, you know, took care of business and he's ready to get back on the horse. So we're excited. You know, there's a lot of good things happening.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so one thing that I do want to make mention of for those watching the show, I'm putting up the full show results of the 16th anniversary show. I do want to also now talk just a bit about the tag team championship, the fatal four-way match with Transcendence picking up the win over Sky High, the Suavecitos, and Mariachi Montaña. And Yes, Transcendence found a way to make it happen. But Joe, I got to tell you, man, the crowd loves themselves some mariachis. They love those guys.
I'll tell you what, I was in the back outside of the Silverton. And, you know, I hear the match, the next match is happening. I'm not really paying that much attention. Obviously, I kind of know it's the tag match. And all of a sudden, I heard this huge roar. And I'm like, who did they just introduce? And they were like, the mariachis. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, that was mind-boggling to me. I was like, wow. Like, that's a casino show where my thoughts are a lot of newer blood there that, you know, yeah, everybody kind of knows the Ice Williams and the Danny Limelights and the Kenny Kings and the regulars who've been with us for a long time. But mariachis haven't really had a lot of casino show experience. And to hear that noise was really, I would say, for introductions, that was by far the loudest reaction. And we're talking Remy Marcel and Maz get a really good reaction. And Ice Williams, he gets a really good reaction. And Gypsy gets a really good reaction.
Oh, yeah.
Surprisingly to me, Gypsy got a far more love from the crowd than Brittany Brooks, which kind of, I heard a lot more Let's Go Gypsy chants. So, you know, the fans are going to root for who they're going to root for. It isn't like, oh, well, good guy, bad guy, heel, face. They like who they like, and they don't give a shit what anybody tells them. Like, you know, when Bateman won, you heard the who when he came out. But Jay Vidal, who is the guy Bateman is having the most issues with, and the fans probably like Jay Vidal more than anybody else, and he's going after Bateman, but the crowd really responded to Bateman. So you never know what's going to happen, you know, in those situations. The Battle Royal, Luke Curtis, who I've been very impressed with recently, he took out the first ever FSW heavyweight champion. He beat Kenny King.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Dave Mazzani. So he had to get through two guys that are very friendly. And, you know, obviously everybody wants to win. But somehow Luke Curtis maneuvered his way. And winning that match, some people would be like, oh, you know, big deal. You know, you just won the Battle Royal. But that's a win. You know, you win something.
Oh, yeah. Without question, man. And, you know, actually, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention something. We were just talking about that tag match. And, yes, Transcendence found a way to make it happen. But we saw something pretty ominous after the match. A bit of a foreboding sort of a message being delivered to the tag team champions. And it definitely could be interesting what comes to follow. Maybe we see some things happen at Scars and Stripes.
You know, it could be, it could have been the monitor glitching. I don't know. You know, we did have some issues, you know, with the Silverton. You know, I got a call and it looked like they were going to make us responsible because for some weird reason, they had speakers on the stage and they were on the stage held up by a tripod. And I saw it and I thought it was kind of weird, but in my mind, it was like, maybe it was some lights or something for the back or, you know, I didn't know because I didn't really think they would put the speakers there.
Yeah.
So needless to say, I thought it was Rocky, but it was either Remy or Sugar Brown telling me something about a speaker fell.
Mm.
So, okay, now the show's going on. I'm paying it no mind or whatever. I get a call from the guy at the Silverton. He's like, oh, we had an issue at the show on Sunday. I'm like, okay, what's that? He's like, well, the speaker that was on the stage, it fell and it broke. And all the inputs are broken. And already, and that's understandable that he's blaming us because, well, how many people on their end are walking by the stage, which is, you know, the speakers are by the ramp. Yeah. So I'm like, what the fuck? So somebody knocked over the speakers and nobody said a word. Like, I sure hope it wasn't like, you know, Gregory Sharp doing it, because I'd have to fire him, you know?
Right.
And it was like, fuck, I don't know what the hell's going on. So I made a post, because besides being a pigsty, which it usually is, nobody picks up their bottles. But as I also said to the guy at the Silverton, well, it's really dark in the back. It was really warm, so most people tried to not hang out in the tent. Okay, so they were inside, but in the back area. So it's dark there. Were there two or three garbage cans for them to put stuff? I don't know. Those are questions we need to ask. So I said to him, I'm like, well, do you have like cameras? I'm like, I'm going to go look at the footage. I'm like, well, maybe it fell over. I don't know what happened. You know, it's like, if you're going to be charging me for something, I want to know that we did it. So needless to say, like 2 hours later, I get a call from Remy and he saw the post. He goes, hey, me and Sugar Brown, we were in the corner and Braxton's music was playing, and he said the bass was so loud. Thank you, sound guy, who we got to pay all the time. Didn't obviously check the bass to go with the speakers, because Remy then told me that after it fell, the sound guy went back there to check on those speakers that were still on the ground. So it's like, did this guy try to blame us to begin with? And then Ref Amber said, hey, I saw it fall. So three people literally saw it fall over because of the bass from Braxton's music. And it's like, well, that's what sound checks are for, and that's what we're supposedly paying you for. So that was the happenings, where we were going to look like have to pay for a new speaker or a speaker to be fixed for them, because that happened one of the shows before. And he was like, oh, it's not a big deal, but you guys broke my lamp. And it was like, well, you guys had a show the day before. Most people aren't going to say they broke the lamp. And Rocky's like, no, that wasn't us. He's like, when we got there, I saw a broken lamp in the corner. And it's like, they just try to blame us for this shit.
I'll tell you, man, anything can happen, and it usually does. But I'll tell you something else that we have to talk about is, and you made mention of it earlier, Gypsy Mac retaining her FSW Women's Championship over Brittany Brooks. And, you know, despite getting quite the split on her eyebrow.
Gypsy, 15 stitches.
Man, 15 stitches.
On my brand new freaking canvas.
I was going to say, I mean, right after that, you get the brand new canvas in there too.
You know, my sponsor said, why is my logo red and white instead of white now? Jesus Christ.
Dude. Yeah. I mean, it was so crazy, because obviously you miss one thing, and then all of a sudden Gypsy's got this pouring of blood, and seeing the photos after the fact, obviously, go search them out. They're on the internet and things of that nature. But man, oh man, she you know, trucked on through and ended up picking up the win. And obviously, you had a lot of people are thinking that Brittany Brooks was being thrust into that championship. But I'll tell you, man, Gypsy, she's showing that she will fight, scratch, claw, do whatever she's got to do to hang on to that championship and prove that she deserves to be where she's at.
Yeah, you know, what can you say? You know, she had the match. She won the match. You know, yeah. Brittany Brooks, you know, has been someone that everybody has seen as That's the future of the FSW women's division. 19 years old, 20 years old. You know, they're looking at her as like, hey, that's the next Lacey Ryan. That's that girl had a good chance of being ID'd before she tore her ACL. Everybody was extremely high on her. And, you know, kind of overlooked Gypsy Mac. And, you know, most people predicted, you know, Brittany Brooks, she's walking out the new champ. It's just a matter of time. You know, Gypsy's just a placeholder. Guess what? Once again, Gypsy Mac walks out of there as the champion. And despite, you know, what some people may say, hey, you know, pushing Brittany down up, maybe that's the thing, that maybe so many people are so high on her, people gravitate toward the underdog. That Gypsy, you know, when Brittany made some of the comments that if it wasn't for you and Maz getting hurt, nobody would even know you were in the women's division, basically. Which, you know, is kind of a shot. And, you know, I thought they were kind of friends. But again, when you're going for what somebody has, you know, you could smile and things like that. But you want what she has. And now how do you look after you basically put her down and acted like, you know, she won it by being beating the B squad because the A team wasn't around? Well, Brittany Brooks had the chance against Rochelle Riveter in the cage and lost. She's had other chances, and she's gotten injured. And now she's had another chance. She says she's 100%. And you could see, because it was a pretty flash finish out of nowhere, that Brittany Brooks, at the end of the match, you could see she was like in stunned disbelief. Not only she didn't win, she can't believe how she lost.
Right.
So now, what do? You know, nobody's going to hand her another championship match. Maserati just won.
Yep.
And Maserati would have been in a triple threat if she wanted to be as the ex-champion, but she was taking care of business. So right now she's basically the one who should be in line for Gypsy Mac.
Yeah.
So absolutely. Brittany Brooks has to, you know, go back to the drawing board and figure out what she needs to do, because again, she's still young. You know, it takes people some time. Gregory Sharp, it took 13 years. Let's not be like, oh my God, Brittany Brooks, you know, what a choker. Oh, what a bum. You know, she's been doing this 2.5 years and she still hasn't won a title. So, you know, Gypsy Mac has been underestimated. Yeah. So hopefully somebody like Maz, if she wants the championship, she's going to have to take her as serious as can be.
Oh, yeah, completely. And, you know, you mentioned that tag match. Obviously, Remy Marcel and Maserati defeating the MK Army team of Kevin Koa and Zamaya. And that was a pretty solid match as well, man. A lot of hard-hitting offense there on all four competitors. And all four definitely showed what they can do and what they can bring. Maz looking good after being away from the ring. And you hit the nail on the head. I think that she's going to be you know, a definite competitor and go right at Gypsy Mac for that championship.
You know, there's a lot going on. The next big casino show, Survival of the Fittest, August 17th. Right now, it's a little bit on hold because I heard there's some issues in the he said they have to skin the tent, which I didn't know what that was, but there's holes in the Silverton tent. Oh. And skinning the tent, I think, means they have to pull it off and do some things. And they were talking about it being in August. And supposedly they're going to find out in the next week or so. And hopefully we don't have to postpone the show because our date's set. So we'll try to our best to figure something out because we don't want to have to move the date.
Yeah, Yeah, absolutely not, man. And yeah, continuing just running over the results of the show here. We've got to talk about the No Limits Championship, which kicked off the main portion of the show. Dante King retaining his championship in a very hard fought match with Brett the Threat and with Joe Braxton. Dante King, man, he had the disadvantage, if you will, as everybody knows, when you're the champion and you're in a three-way, you only have a 33 1/3% chance of winning that match. So yeah, he definitely showed what he can do.
Yeah, you know, you had two guys coming at you from both sides, and you know, he squeaked out the victory. You know, you got to give him credit for that. But a guy like Braxton is still on the horizon. You know, it could have went either way. And again, as we're talking with Dante King, now Dante King will be there the 28th, but you got to look out for a guy like Bateman also. So, you know, his head needs to be, as we said, it's got to be on all cylinders, because you don't know who's coming at you.
Definitely. You got to keep your head on a swivel, man, for sure. And obviously, one thing that we made allusion to it earlier, the Nick Bockwinkel Battle Royal, Luke Curtis picking up the victory in that. And yeah, it really showed that, you know, going through Kenny King, going through Dave Mazzani, you know, I think Curtis could very well make a name for himself and turn some heads in FSW.
Yeah, well, you know, he kind of already has, you know. You know, he's impressed me, and that's what's going to get you, you know, booked on a show. And he has been booked on a show. And as I said, he came in, had a spot, he wrestled back and forth, almost beat a guy who turned out to be the new heavyweight champion.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, that alone is like, oh, okay, well, that's going to make you take notice.
Yeah. Yeah. Without question, man. And so we'll see what happens. But as you had mentioned earlier, Joe, Scars and Stripes, Saturday, June 28th. That is going to be coming to us from the FSW Arena. Tickets are available right now. And obviously, we mentioned that the new FSW champion, Gregory Sharp, is going to be giving the State of FSW address. Anything else that that we should be looking for on that show? It looks to be taking place in about a week.
Yeah, the 28th, next Saturday. So, you know, we're putting together the card, you know, as we speak, because a lot of the Arizona crew won't be there because they have shows going on that they've already committed to. So, but we do know the Nevada State champion won't be there also. Most of the MK Army won't be there, but Hero Lou will be there. The No Limits champion, Dante King, will be there. Bodie won't be there. So, you know, we got Gregory Sharp, the heavyweight champion. He'll be on hand. Mariachi Montaña, they will be here. But the tag team champions won't. So the Suavecitos won't. So it's kind of like, okay, we got to figure out what we're doing. So we're kind of scrambling right now, trying to put this card together. But we know we'll have a solid one, and probably by Sunday, we'll have the whole card out on the socials.
Perfect, perfect. So obviously, check out all the socials right there. FSW Vegas, Future Stars of Wrestling. Let's kind of pivot and talk about the professional wrestling landscape as a whole. Joe, that it's been quite a crazy couple of weeks, not just in FSW, but outside of FSW. Is there anything that's kind of caught your eye on either of the two larger promotions in the country?
Well, you know, it was interesting to see that the AAA show was very well received. You know, the question becomes, is Mr. Iguana and a few of the others gonna, you know, migrate over? I saw they're gonna be doing some of the WWE house shows that are in Mexico, obviously. Right. But the question becomes is, hey, you know, when there's matches with the LWO and other stuff, will they use the Vikingo and have him on the show? So, you know, they've already utilized him in a couple of different positions, even at WrestleMania. So obviously there's got to be plans, you know, to use him. And then, of course, AEW was doing stuff in Mexico this past week. I just saw today that my guys, Brian Cage and Lance Hoyt, are making a move, a Steven Spielberg movie. So
really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, I hadn't seen that.
Yeah, it has to do with UFOs and pro wrestling, I was told. So, but
that's awesome.
So, and I saw Cage kind of post a little bit about it. But our schedule is jam-packed. We got the 28th. We got Future Shock on July 12th. Then we have on my birthday, the 26th, Moment of Truth. August 17th is going to be Survival of the Fittest. And then we have the Future Stars of Women's Wrestling returning on August 31st. So, you know, besides having, you know, the normal crew, Gypsy Mac will be there, of course, and Brittany Brooks and Maserati. And then we're going to have some other names. But I just signed Melissa Santos to be the ring announcer on that. Perfect. So, you know, we got so much on the plate. You know, our deal we have for Mania with the Hard Rock is seemingly in place. We got hit up. I got a phone call this week from one of the biggest sports bars in the country that has a bunch of different places all over the United States. And we're supposed to meet because they seem to want to get in the wrestling business in terms of being around it and stuff. And it's like, that's the one thing I got to talk about is that I can't tell you the exact reason, you know. And it's like, yeah, hey, were we on TV? Yeah, we were on TV 4 times in a 4-week process. I think we were on TV once in 15 years. So it's like all of a sudden people aren't treating wrestling like, oh, yeah, we don't want to do anything with that. Where now I'm the one getting phone calls instead of us, you know, blind calling and trying to get anybody that might listen. Like there's people that want to do things now that it never had been like that before. So I got to believe WrestleMania in Vegas, and it's going to be just as good this year, you know, for us at least, but WrestleMania in Vegas has really opened a lot of eyes to businesses in Vegas that probably frowned upon wrestling because, you know, the one big thing that was coming was the Formula One. And that kind of turned into a debacle. And it was all, you know, mainly, I guess, for the rich. And even the rich weren't coming last year and they had to keep dropping prices. And it was a disaster for the locals and it was a disaster for the businesses in that area because they put portable bridges that they had to like, how are they going to get to my business? Well, they're not for a week, but don't worry about it. You know, you still got to pay rent, but don't worry about it. So it's very interesting that if 3 years ago they said, hey, guys, we're going to have Formula One or WrestleMania. What do you think? I can't believe, you know, other than, you know, Dana White, I don't think anybody in Las Vegas would have been like, oh, we need to have wrestling here. Yeah. And it's obvious it's been a home run. Everybody's wanting it back. When Formula One was coming back for year two, you know, people were going nuts to like cancel this shit. So
yeah, it's really crazy. And you know, to do Mania back to back years in Las Vegas. And again, in case you've been living under a rock, Saturday, April the 18th and Sunday, April the 19th, 2026, live from Allegiant Stadium. And obviously, as we all know, the FSW Arena is available for bookings. How are we looking on that calendar for that weekend so far, Joe?
Did you say WrestleMania weekend?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. That we're about to, or there, another company should be announcing they were sending the deposit this weekend. A couple others are on there. So we're definitely going to have that, but it's also, again, we have a show next Saturday, and we also have a venue rental on Friday night. The week after, we have a shoot that somebody is doing with Rey Mysterio. So, you know, we've been staying very, very busy. Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, and again, people are finding out who we are, that I got to believe in the past had no idea who we were, as I said, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's crazy that people are actually giving a shit. You know, yeah. We looked at the numbers already at the Silverton, and, you know, the numbers were way better than No Escape. They were way better than last year's Against All Odds.
Very cool. Yeah, it just goes to show just how much in the mainstream professional wrestling is. And it's the old saying, Joe, when the tide comes in, all boats rise. And it's amazing to hear that we're doing year-over-year numbers better this year so far than in years past. And in years past, we've had excellent success. So it just speaks volumes for what is to come in the future as well.
Yeah, and even the views. If you look at the live views from the Chris Bay show and the, which again, that's a standalone show, and we know it was going to do really well. But the WrestleMania WWE ID show and the Future Legend Women show were some of the best live numbers we had in a very long time. Then when we did a Calm Before the Storm, a show at the school, the numbers were a lot better than normal. And then we did the anniversary show, and those numbers were way better than we've been doing compared to, say, No Escape. You know, so it's been, whether it's streaming, whether it's live at the venue, you know, more people seem to be paying attention to us. And again, I guess there's combinations. There's probably been more eyes on us because of doing the show for Chris. There's more eyes on us because it's WrestleMania weekend. You know, we got plans next year to try to air every show from Full Tilt, streaming it live with the companies. So, you know, not let alone the other things that we're planning to do. You know, my mind's racing, continually thinking like what we're doing. And it's also made the creative juices kind of flowing a little bit. It's like, you know, I got my ideas already set, and we have a show on the 28th of June and July 26th, and how we're getting to Survival of the Fittest. And we got ideas for what matches are going to happen there, and still trying to put some other stuff together. But, you know, sometimes it's a struggle to be like, oh, what's going here? But, you know, the storylines are kind of hitting on all cylinders, you know, coming out of the anniversary show. Normally it's the reset button. And bottom line is the heavyweight champion has a number one contender in Ice Williams still.
Yeah.
You know, that match has to happen. And when Ice Williams and Gregory Sharp were heavyweight and Nevada State champion, they were on a different plane So those guys never really worked together in any way. So now you have a fresh matchup. You know, Hiro coming back, the tag teams, the Suavecitos. You know, I didn't realize, because they mentioned it to me, that was one of their first major matches ever at a casino show.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, okay. And I remember them wrestling the Regulators at a pre-show match at a casino, but not being a main card guys to be in there. And speaking of the Regulators, you know, they're ready to come back. EJ Sparks hurt his neck. They were supposed to come back. The Magnificent ended up wrestling. And, you know, the plan is to get the Regulators back in the mix. So, as I said, on July 26th, Devin Reno and Class, now known as the Pretty City Express, they are going to be back. So, you know, that tag division is heating up. And the heavyweight division is heating up. And, you know, there's guys that one phone call away, the Royce Isaacs, Jarrell Nelsons, you know, Tito Escondido, Brian Cage when he gets healthy. You know, I got a call from one of the greatest FSW heavyweight champions of all time, Hammerstone. And we're discussing a return. So, you know, all you guys that are hovering and trying to get those spots, you better work your ass off to earn it, because a lot of times you guys think you're going to coast. You're not coasting, bro. There's too much out there. There's too many people that want to be a part of this.
Absolutely, man. Way too many eyes on the product to just be complacent. So you heard it right there.
You want to make me equal to some other company that we're not equal to. Well, then, you know, stay there. You know, go see somebody knocking on that door to see about checking you out for a future position in a major company. You know, so I don't need to go out of my way. I got too many people that are around. You know, I know who a couple people that were booked for the Battle Royal that claimed that they were available that day. Didn't see them at all. I saw people that were on the show, the younger talent that didn't bother to come to set up, but not a problem because, you know, they're already there. So it's easy to break down. Nope, they were gone. You know, somebody was there ride. So it was like, oh, so it's the other person's excuse. It's the veteran's excuse that you couldn't be there because you couldn't make it happen. And it's like, hey, that's fine. You know, I'm tired of talking until I'm blue in my face and making you understand why I need you to do something. They already did stuff. They already helped. You came here because you thought coming to FSW was going to be a benefit to you. And it is. But it's not going to keep being a benefit to you when you're no benefit to me. Yeah. And believe me, I ain't asking for too much. Yeah. So, you know, as I said, against, you know, at Survival of the Fittest, you know, there's things that are in place already. You know, I'm working on trying to figure out, okay, you know, I talked about it, you know, Trisha Dora, you know, lives here in town. She's at the show. Would have loved to use her. Really didn't have an opportunity. But now moving forward, and Layla Gray, another AEW wrestler who lives in town and has gotten the okay. So why would I not use that talent when I already have Maserati and Brittany Brooks and Gypsy Mac and Zamaya and Brooke Havoc and, you know, haven't seen Alice Blair in a few months, haven't seen Rochelle Riveter in a few months. These are ex-champions.
Yeah.
You know, there's more talent on the horizon that we've spoken to. So, you know, we are overflowing with talent.
Yeah. And, you know, it's, I believe the phrase is that you're suffering from success, Joe. So that's a good problem to have, man.
You know, I got Sugar Brown, who's itching to get back in there.
Nice.
You know, he's been helping with Remy and helping running the Friday class. And, you know, he's chomping at the bit. And it's like, it doesn't have anything to do with me not liking him. Love Sugar Brown. But it's like, to make it happen, man, you know, and I don't wish anything, but it's like, hey, Matt Vandegrift's banged up and he would have been on the show, obviously. You know, there's so many people. And, man, it's like, where would that show be? It's like trying to get the main players, you know, on there that I couldn't make the call. And it's like, you know, love Danny Limelight, but you know what? It's okay he's taking a breather. It gives another person an opportunity that maybe hasn't been utilized. Maybe that Sugar Brown spot. You know, maybe Clutch, don't forget about me. You know, and it's like, it's hard because, you know, it's easy for a lot of these other companies that only want to use 10 guys worth of shit. Well, there's 25 on a show.
Yeah.
So it's easy to fill the rest of the roster. Try filling that 25 man or 25 person roster when there's 42 people.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone's always going to be left out. So
yeah. Somebody's always going to be mad. What about me? Why didn't I get an opportunity? Why am I not on the casino show? And that's also part of the reason why we're having this battle royal for a lot of the youngsters. But Kenny King wasn't getting a match at the anniversary show. This is a guy who's been my number one guy. He was the guy that started FSW, my first champion. And he was relegated to the Battle Royal because he had a lot of other stuff. There was no story for him at that point, you know? And it was like, okay, well, I got to have Kenny on the show. But sure, this is a first anniversary show that I haven't had Hammerstone on in a long time.
I noticed that as well.
You know, Shogun, if he didn't get injured, he's a main guy on a show.
Yeah.
So it's just like, man, you're just scampering and trying to keep, because, you know, trying to keep people happy.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think that it speaks volumes that the roster is so deep, quite honestly, that you have, you know, you have the capability of rotating people in and out. And that honestly keeps things fresh from a fan perspective as well.
Right. Because, you know, Brett the Threat moved away and then we got him involved again. Suavecitos, they were doing their thing. They're here. Regulators were hurt. They're back. Mariachis have kind of risen to the top. Oh, where's the last tag team champions? Oh, they're hurt. What happens when they come back? Because they were in a position as youngsters because of injuries and other things to earn their way into the main roster. Well, when Fox gets back from an injury, he doesn't lose his spot on the main roster. It's just now where do we put them? Yeah. You know, when you got 9 tag teams, yet there's only going to be 2 tag team matches. Chase Bell was out almost a year. We're struggling to get, you know, reps for the Po' Boys. You know, just announced. I didn't even just announce it. But we talked, and the Suavecitos, the next time they're booked, because they're always booked, they're going to be at Future Shock on July 12th.
Oh, wow.
Because I wanted to get them on a show.
Yeah.
So it's really crazy.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And, you know, it's really exciting. If, for instance, you know, we've talked about how many eyes are on the product right now, how many new eyes are on the product. Something that stood out to me was when Diana did the poll in the audience of how many people, this was their first ever pro wrestling show, And I saw more hands go up and more cheers than I thought that I would see, to be honest. And it just shows that FSW is attracting more and more of an audience with every single show. So that's got to be a, you know, a positive thing for, you know, not just FSW, but the entire pro wrestling landscape.
Right. You know, does that mean, hey, some people saw something on the news, it got put over, hey, that's a lot of fun for the family, you know? As I said, you know, we always sell through our fan base. Yes. And we know when we do well based off the website sales, because the website direct sales, they go through there that they saw the marquee, they saw a TV ad, hey, the show's at the Silverton. Our regulars are going to all go through me. Like, I didn't realize how oversold of front row we were. And there was a couple of dozen regulars that generally come to most casino shows in front row because it was Father's Day and other things that they were not able to make it. So we would have had, we had more front row this show than we did even last anniversary, and any show we've done in the last couple of years, except for the Chris Bay show.
Wow. That's massive, man. That speaks to not just the in-ring product, but also the presentation, the storylines, getting people engaged with the product. So, you know, from top to bottom, from the production to, you know, your audio visual team, to obviously the in-ring product, to the storylines, everything is clicking right now for Future Stars of Wrestling. If by some chance people are, you know, happening upon FSW and you're wanting to know more, obviously you can always go to fswvegas.com, check them out on their Instagram, their Facebook, their X, everything, all the social media. And keep your eyes peeled to those channels over the next few days, because as Joe said, we are coming up on Scars and Stripes. It's going to be coming to you live Saturday, June 28th from the FSW Arena. So obviously tickets are on sale now. Joe, any final thoughts, sir?
No, man. It's like, you know, enjoy the ride. If you've been with us from 2009 and, you know, we always talk about, and it's like, okay, you hit a wall, whatever it is. Like, we were on the highest of highs right around 2020. We did our 10th anniversary show in that June of 2019. And man, we were killing it. And we were preparing, you know, for the Mecca as COVID started to hit. We did the show, it did well, but it took over a year and a half to be able to really do shows again. And then all of a sudden it was like some people still didn't really want to come out, and we're, you know, 2.5 years later, which puts us already in 2023. And now it's all of a sudden it's a struggle, and you're getting your regulars and you're getting your fans, but the growth seems to be stagnant and you're not really doing much. And man, bless Mania coming to Vegas, because that really opened a lot of eyes. Because again, there's so many people that didn't live in Vegas last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. So being able to go out there now and you turn on Channel 5 or you turn on Channel 8, and the guy in Channel 8 is trying to wrestle, and he's on at 5 in the morning showing us, and then we're on at 8 in the morning and 10 in the morning and 2 in the afternoon, and then, you know, however little it is, you know, I was at the Silverton, and the guy at the lighting guy, hey, I saw you on TV, and it was like, it was on Fox. And one of our old wrestlers, Trenton, I was at a place the other day, and the guy walks by and then he stops. He's like, "You're the wrestling guy, right?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Oh, my grandson's Trenton." And Trenton used to wrestle, obviously, with us. But he recognized me because he's like, "Oh, I saw you on TV last week." So it's like, you know, most people watch a lot of streaming stuff, but the news is stuff people watch locally. So it's like, okay, what do we do to keep getting it out there? Whether it's print media, you know, radio, billboards, it's understandable. We have a kids class at 12 noon. Let's get more kids there. You know, you could be the next Bodie. That you know, we're praying for that WWE ID. Some kid who started a kids class at 8 years old has been signed by the WWE. You know, and because of being in the kids class at 18, he's already so skilled that helped him get to where he is today.
Yeah, without question, man. And the future is bright for FSW. So obviously, I want to thank you guys for hanging out with us. And we'll be right back here next week for the DeFalco Files. I'm Sin City Steve for Joe DeFalco, and we will see you guys next week.